Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps.
And welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is October 23rd, 2023. Just a quick note here before I bring on my guest tonight. You're going to be happy with the guest I've got tonight. The National Intel Report will be retiring November 13th. Just to let you know, we have three more shows. I have three more shows on the network on this Monday slot. The rest of the hosts all in the same boat. The National Intel Report is being retired. We're going forward and still in the memory of John Stadmiller. And by the way, we are coming up. It's going to be perfect timing for me because I do a show. My last show will be November 6th. And of course, the passing of John Stadmiller, the second anniversary will be on November 5th. So we'll have a special show in memory of John Stadmiller. As promised last night on my show, Off the Beaten Path, excuse me here, that I promised you a special guest tonight, and I'm happy to bring him back. I think it doesn't seem like it's been that long he's been gone, so I can't even put the time and date on it, but let's bring him back without further ado, my good friend Michael Rivero. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am, Steve, and thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, yes. We get to go out in a bang. A couple more shows, and it's nice to have you on board. Again,
I wish we could use that expression, going out with a bang, with all that's going on in the Middle East and Syria and Lebanon and Russia, Ukraine, and everything.
Oh, geez. You know, it's been an honor sitting in this chair. It's been an honor sitting in this chair for the last 2 years for John Stadmiller. And like I said, we were retiring the show, not canceling, retiring the show. And we're moving forward, but you're right. Maybe that's bad wording on my part, going out with a bang. But Mike, you and I, we talk quite a bit, we text quite a bit, and
yes,
the world is it's spinning, and the craziness that you and I both have seen. We're a little different in age, but things that we thought we'd never see, we are seeing now, and beyond that, the bizarro world. We're living in the bizarro world. And things are really spinning out of control. And we were already in a bad place economically, morals and values, ethics, everything going in the wrong direction. And now we have to worry about what's going on in the Middle East now with Israel and Gaza and Iran now and Lebanon. It is certainly spiraling out of control here. And just as you and I talked earlier, I'm very worried about the direction. What's going to happen here? Are we going to be pulled into a war here? Are we looking at a World War III type situation here? And now, even to make it more unstable than that, Michael, you just told me something I did not know. Glued to other sources, Vladimir Putin, evidently, whether this is true or not, it's hard to decide and figure it out if it's true, but supposedly Vladimir Putin had a myocardial infarction, a cardiac arrest, and he was revived. So
COVID vaccine.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, they had their vaccine, but it was more of what we used to have, the live attenuated virus. As far as I know, they didn't go into the experimental messenger RNA.
I was only joking, and Putin strikes me as a very healthy individual, and we can't dismiss the possibility this was an assassination attempt. But
yes.
It does seem like the world is just completely out of control, and. Yeah. you know, we got this situation. And of course, you know, Biden is happy as all heck because we've forgotten about the disaster in Afghanistan. Yep. We're right. being distracted from all the huge amounts of money pouring into the Ukraine failure. And so now we've got a new war to show you and prove that Joe Biden is a war president. But, you know, it is an ugly situation. It does appear that Israel probably used informants inside Hamas to instigate the attack. We know from a member of the Knesset that Netanyahu ordered the military to stand down for 7 hours, which is why Hamas was able to make such gains. And even people in Israel are saying that border around Gaza is impenetrable. A fox can't get through. So how did all these people just, you know, walk out of the world's largest open-air prison and start causing mayhem? And it appears to be another war-starting hoax. We've seen so many of them throughout history. Mm-hmm. And I think Israel wants to basically erase Palestine. And I think the further objective for the U.S. and Israel is war with Iran. And we're hearing people like Lindsey Graham, who's too old to fight and has no children. He's out there saying, yes, we've got to go into Iran. We've got to go into Iran. And the war lust for Iran has been around for a long time. Remember when John McCain used to do that bomb, 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 bomb Iran?
I do.
It was disgusting. Mm-hmm. And he was also off key. I think that's definitely an objective. And anytime you see corporate media reporting on the situation in the Mideast, it's always Iran-backed people did this, Iran-backed people did that. They are really trying to manufacture consent for the American people to support the war. But the good news is the American people today are much more skeptical and cautious. Mm-hmm. Polls are showing trust in government and the media pretty much at the bottom of the barrel. And what used to work to motivate the American people into sending their money and their children off to foreign lands doesn't seem to be working now. In fact, I just saw this article from the People's Voice saying that Israel is losing the propaganda war to Hamas. And looking at the videos of all the massive protests going on in capital cities around the world, I have to agree. And I'm wondering at what point do the leaders of all these countries look out their windows at the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people protesting in the streets and realize this could be a major problem if they continue to back Israel's atrocities against the Palestinian people? I remember Lyndon Johnson once said that he knew the Vietnam War was lost when he looked out on the mall and saw a million people gathered there. So,
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up because I was going to bring that up also. The protests on the college campuses and Washington, D.C. today, and I think New York City also had a massive rally in support of the Palestinian people. And yes, you're absolutely correct. This is not a clean slate here that they can just go on and continue what they're doing. And I actually heard something in the I won't call it the mainstream media because I don't really refer to Newsmax or Real America's Voice as being part of the mainstream media. I tell that CNN and MSNBC. But they actually made a comment today. They said something about the Israel has lost the support of the world on this war. Already said that comment, which I was surprised to hear that, because they still are kind of going with the same narrative as a lot of the other mainstream media networks, you know, the cutting off the head of the babies and all these things like that. And right off the bat, you and I talked about that, and I said, geez, if that were true, first of all, they would show some kind of proof. Somebody would get to see this proof. But the mainstream media was running with it. Of course, they automatically went and demonized Iran, saying Hezbollah is working with Hamas, and that $6 billion supposedly that Joe Biden had given back to Iran, the money they actually froze, took away, stole the money, gave it back, and that money was funneled to Hamas to buy the weaponry, the rockets from Russia to shoot into Israel. Well, just
actually,
a couple of days
they
ago,
were
Mike,
buying the weapons from Ukraine. You know, the weapons that the taxpayers paid for and were sent to Ukraine.
Right.
Zelensky turned around and sold them on the black market, and a lot of them have wound up in Gaza. There's videos of these U.S. weapons. You look at the Hamas fighters, you don't see any more AK-47s. They're all holding American-made M4s with very expensive of optical sights, and they're also getting weapons that were abandoned in Afghanistan. So ultimately, the American people are paying for all sides in this conflict.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. So the lie I caught the other day, though, Michael, was this money was unfrozen and given back to Iran, and they went with the idea that the money was funneled then to Hezbollah, to Hamas, to buy the weaponry. But just 2 days ago, they were talking about we're thinking about freezing that $6 billion now. Wait a minute, the $6 billion that you gave away 2 weeks ago, that was funneled to Hezbollah, to Hamas? So I caught a lie right there. And again, if there was any truth whatsoever to Hamas cutting off the heads of babies, I guarantee you this mainstream media, nobody would stop talking about this issue. Matter of fact, American boots would already be on the ground if that were true. And they simply stopped with that false narrative of cutting heads off of babies. But I did hear Charlie Kirk, one of the most conservative people in radio, actually utter that lie about cutting heads off of babies again. You're absolutely correct. The 6 or 7 hours waiting before a reaction time for military, I saw it from the very beginning. I think you and I talked about it. False flag. They needed something to happen. This was their 9/11.
Yes.
How they had massive, massive intelligence failures, just like we did in 9/11. And then they sat back and said, okay, now we can act. We have reason now. We're getting that manufactured consent, as Noam Chomsky would talk about, and now we can do what we want to do. So one word I want to get to with you, Michael, is the words today, talking about the narrative today, is delaying the mass invasion into Gaza, delaying. The word delaying. They are planning on going into Gaza, no doubt about it.
Well, initially they said they were delaying the ground invasion because of the weather. Then they came on out and said basically the United States is pressuring them to delay the invasion until they can get more military assets into the region. And, of course, we have one carrier group in the Eastern Mediterranean, second one headed for the Persian Gulf, which is kind of telegraphing that Iran is going to get roped into this. And at least one, possibly two squadrons of B-1B Lancers have been deployed to Great Britain. And these planes carry 50 tons of bombs, and they have the range to reach the Middle East or Iran from bases in England.
Cool thought, cool head in the group at all. No. Hotheads are prevailing right now. I don't know what the Pentagon is thinking of a strategy here at all. But you're absolutely correct on your opening statement about Israel going into Palestine, pretty much wiping them off the map, and then going into Iran, so killing two birds with one stone here. This Putin situation, let me ask you something tying back into Russia's involvement in this whole scheme here, along with China itself, because China's got warships out there. Russia's got
yes.
16, I think. China's got 6 right now in the region. This is getting out of control here. I hear that Britain is talking about speculating boots on the ground with Britain, Great Britain, and the United States here. And we already have advisors over there, which I don't buy the advisor thing. I think that's code for mercenary.
Yeah, that reminds me of Vietnam. Well, there are U.S., British, and German forces already stationed on the island of Cyprus, ready for a rapid deployment.
Right. So I guess my question to you is, if this is, let's say this is true, that Putin had a cardiac arrest, and this is just not made up and for some other angle, let's say that he did have a cardiac arrest. He's out of commission for a little while. They're talking about number two Putin might even be worse than Putin himself. What's
yes.
the odds of that happening? Or are we going to have somebody a little easier going with maybe? What do you think there?
No, you know, Putin was seen as a moderate. He was weathering a great deal of criticism from his own government about just not going on in and finishing the Ukraine war. Putin wanted to turn it into a war of attrition, which he felt Russia could win with its economy. And actually, it turns out that he was right about that. But yes, whoever takes over the helm while Putin is recuperating, likely to be far, far worse, much more aggressive, much more of a war hawk. And so right now, the fate of the entire world is in the hands of whichever leader is the least mentally stable. And that's a very scary kind of a thought.
Does this situation right now where we're in, watching Israel and Gaza and the whole thing, Palestinians, does this right now, would you think this might benefit the Moscow? Would this benefit them and they're pushing into Ukraine? Because now we're all focused on Israel and Gaza. Do you think this might benefit the Russians?
Yes, it will, because it's diverting money and weapons from Ukraine. Zelensky's already out there wringing his hands and saying it's time to talk peace. And, you know, the money is drying up. Biden is trying to bundle more money for Ukraine with money for Israel. He knows that if he voted those bills separately, Ukraine would get voted down. So he's trying to use Israel's leverage to get that money. And, I mean, he's just spending this money hand over fist, $105 billion for Israel and Ukraine and Taiwan. And he said in his speech, the border. But when you look at the actual paperwork on that, he's not going to build a border fence. He's actually putting in an express lane at the border. He's going to widen the paths and speed things up for more illegals to come into this country. I mean, it's insanity. We don't have enough jobs for legal American citizens. We've got American citizens homeless on the streets. We have American veterans homeless on the streets. And they're blowing all this money on the illegal immigrants. The illegal immigrants are getting more money than retirees on Social Security. And this is a messed up priority, in my opinion.
Yeah, it truly is. I want to get definitely to that, the mass immigration problems in New York, Massachusetts, and Chicago has right now. But I want to go back also to, you know, like I said, when we have our eyes focused on what's going on in Israel and going on in Gaza right now, don't you also think that China is loving this also? Because I would assume at some point in time, China may make their move on Taiwan because we're now occupied with something else. I think America is stretched pretty thin, Mike. Pretty thin.
Yeah, it is. And we have military people admitting our stockpiles have been drawn down. The Strategic Petroleum Reserve is almost empty. And, you know, much of our weaponry is old and worn out, or it's bloated, worthless junk like the F-35, which has a 50% availability rate. And that's pretty shocking. And yeah, this would be a good time for China to move on Taiwan. And the problem with the situation is that whereas we ended World War II with nuclear weapons, we are quite likely to start World War III with nuclear weapons simply because some countries like the United States don't have a conventional military capable of taking on Russia and China at the same time, let alone fight a war for Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, has changed his tune a little bit, Mike, in that he was one of the first ones that kind of, you know, point a finger and said this is Iran's doing. You know, Hezbollah is working with Hamas, and this is all Iran. Now he's come back and said, well, there's no real evidence to support that. He's actually, I couldn't believe I heard it. But the mainstream media is not listening to Anthony Blinken whatsoever. They're simply, they've got their focus. It's on Iran. They're the problem. It's all started with Iran. So you know that the end game is Israel pushing in through Palestine and definitely going to Iran, taking out the axis of evil. I guess they still have that title, axis of evil.
Yeah, they're still using State that Department. Terminology now. You know, Russia and all these other countries, the new axis of evil. And some of the propaganda out there is getting pretty desperate. One thing that does concern me is I've noticed all day long today, social media, especially Twitter, which is where I like to hang out, it's being flooded with all these stories about how Hamas terrorists are already inside the United States because of the open border, and that we should expect something bad to happen very soon, which sounds like the run-up to a false flag attack. It's going to take place here in the United States, and Biden's going to get on TV and say, curse those Iranians or Russians or Chinese or whoever is going to get the blame for this one. But if something does happen inside this country, then obviously Biden, with his open border, bears a tremendous responsibility for that.
That's true, but I think he would use it more to his advantage, Mike. I think what we probably see is, of course, what money fixes all the problems. So, you know, they probably shut the borders down then, increase spending to the DOD, and, you know, remove our rights and freedoms, maybe even a martial law. You know, they let the enemy in, and then the enemy attacks, if that's even true, or it could be a false flag attack. I could see this to be a Biden stronghold to, if he could draw this out, Michael, draw this out long enough, probably cancel 2020 elections. Go to a commercial break now, and when we come back, my good friend Michael Rivera is our guest today. Stay tuned.
Gilad Atzmon, says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS. This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, you know, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Response, the protest in New York City and also the U.S. Capitol in support of Palestine and the people in Gaza, Michael, that it's quite a large crowd, and the support is there. I wonder what the reaction is going to be. I mean, these are Jewish citizens, U.S. Jewish citizens, that are protesting the barbaric treatment of the innocent people caught in the crossfire here in Gaza and Palestine. And that appears to be growing bigger in support, and I'd have to agree with that. You know, violence brings on more violence. I think you said that on your show before. But I started thinking about the reasons why Hamas would want to attack Israel, and I think you mentioned on your show. I started looking at my list here. Well, they control the water going in, they control the medicine, the medical supplies going in, they control the food, they control the technology what goes into Gaza. And they control the energy. So we're looking at basically a confined, walled, hold-up prison here. These people are living in tent cities. A lot of them are tent cities. And that's not a very free life, as far as I'm concerned. That's not a way to live. And if there is a ceiling to reach and people get angry, finally pushing back and using violence to make their message heard, that's not the – I don't condone that, but I do understand being pushed against the wall and finally fighting back. And evidently, you know, as you and I've talked before, we've voiced our opinion quite a bit here at the displeasure of our U.S. government, how they've treated us as citizens, surveillance and taxation, and pretty much doing anything they want to do and violating the laws. I mean, I'm not sure that we really truly have a constitution anymore, Michael. It's hanging by a thread. But all the violations against the citizens in this country here, and we go to the court systems, and the court systems aren't working in our favor because they've been bought off. And corrupt judges from the Biden administration and the Obama administration. And you think you can't get a fair shake. So you go to a court of law, you can't get a fair shake. You go to the international courts of law, you don't get a fair shake there. So this was going to happen sooner or later. If you push people against the wall, something's going to happen. They're going to fight back.
The point where they say, I don't care what happens to me. I have got to do something about this. And like I said, looking at all these protests around the world in these capitals, some of them are already turning violent, and the police are completely outnumbered in many of these cases. This could erupt into a situation that makes the Black Lives Matter riots look like a summer picnic. And you know, I long ago on my show, I made the comment that this push for a global government might actually result in a global revolution, and we could actually see that might be the only way to avoid a nuclear World War III.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the countries that would be pulled into this World War III here for the advantage of the holder of power here. This is spiraling out of control, and I hope it does cool down a little bit here. But, I mean, look at our enemies, Michael. I mean, I'm looking at our enemies here. North Korea, we don't get along with we don't get along with anybody, I don't think, really. But North Korea, we don't get along with China, Russia, of course. Iran's the axis of evil. Syria, we don't get along with them. We destroyed Afghanistan. We destroyed Iraq. And we're still occupying these two countries. We're not welcome anywhere in the world. And I do believe
the only places we're welcome is, you know, governments that are getting money from the United States, like Ukraine. Yes. Ukraine loves us.
Well, the Arab world, I see the Arab world to come together, Michael, on this one here, on the side of the Palestinians. I think the Arab world is going to be a big factor of how this goes, because I don't think they're going to stand by and allow this to happen. To annihilate, to go in, to basically ethnic cleanse Palestine. I don't think Israel is going to be allowed to do that without Egypt and Saudi Arabia and other countries, Jordan, somebody else coming to the aid of the Palestinians. This is a big powder keg right now, a big powder keg.
It really is, and the fuse is definitely flickering on this one. Israel is trading shots with Syria and Lebanon. Apparently, they fired rockets into Egypt. Yemen is shooting rockets into Israel. And, getting this under control at this point seems like really kind of a long shot. And,
Well, I haven't heard anybody even talking about some kind of coming to the table and a ceasefire. I've heard no one say ceasefire. Let's think this thing through. I have heard no one talk. Nobody on the political side of the United States, nobody's talking ceasefire here.
No, the U.S. has announced they are opposed to any kind of a ceasefire.
Amazing. 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 Yeah, Lindsey Graham is spouting off. Again, another guy who never served his country in battle. Mm-hmm. Actually, his job in the military was to advise pilots on the laws, the rules of war. Did you know that, Michael? The rules
of
war.
No, I did not.
That's what he did as a lawyer in the military, to instruct the pilots on the rules, engagement, and war.
Okay.
Crazy stuff. He seems to be beating the war drums right now. Short commercial
break.
We'll come back. Hey, open phone lines. You got Michael Rivera tonight here. 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Mike Rivera.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Kick down, break down, take down. Everybody wants into the crowded line. Break down, take down. You busted, busted. Shake down, break down, take down. Just about the time you think it's all right. Break down, take down. You busted. Shake down, break down, take.
And we are back. I got a ton of questions and some comments to make from Michael, but we are loading up the phone lines now, so I say we get to the phones. Let's take our first call from Colorado. John in Colorado, you're on with Mike Rivera. John in Colorado.
Hey, hi. Good talk. Michael, it's good to hear you again. I hope you and Claire are doing fine. You getting your website back together and everything.
Yeah, we're working as hard as we can.
Yeah. Well, we're sorry to see you left when you come back, but Jim Fetzer taking your place has been a great substitute.
Okay, good. Glad to hear it.
Information that the week we had you both on. You can come back sometime or sit in on somebody, and it'd be real nice. Jeff, I had a question. You said, okay, they're retiring the show in November.
Yeah.
Is your show going to continue on Sunday nights?
Yeah, my Sunday nights continues.
Okay.
The National Intel Report's going to retire. The label, the title is gone, and I'm not sure who's been chosen for the spot. It's a Monday through Friday, two-hour spot, so I'm not sure who's been chosen. But one person, as far as I know, and so the National Intel Report retires November 3rd.
Okay. Because I wonder if they keep some of the three people who've been on taking the place and have their own shows or change over.
You know, I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. Just know my fate, and I was happy to be here for almost 2 years at this spot, so I'm fine, and I'll just focus on Sunday night now.
Okay, well, we appreciate that. Yeah, good thing you'd be on. Yeah, this thing with Israel, you know, I just got off the phone with Jim Fesser, so that, but mm-hmm. at first I said, yeah, it sounds like a 9/11 thing when they had this stand down and all that. Yep. Make some excuse and then start it up, and then there's all the, well, attacking the Palestinians, but what was saying in Gaza and on the West Bank, but you don't hear anything. You don't, you know, there may be, I haven't looked much to find, like, pictures or anything of what they were doing in Gaza and all that, but I'm sure it's somewhere, but the mainstream is all quiet about that. It's all what happened to Israel, and this last thing about I get these, I call them spam, and I get all these patriotic group websites come on, and one of them said that they had intelligence that definitely said that the Hamas missile that struck that hospital in Gaza.
That's a lie. That was a lie.
I mean, Israel originally took credit for that, saying that the Hamas was using the hospital, and then when the global outrage erupted, you know, Israel changed the story. So either they were lying before or they're lying now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, look, well, I know about the old adage, well, no, there's a Hamas somewhere, somebody's house, somebody's store, somebody's hospital, somebody's, you know, whatever. It's a Hamas hideout, so that's what they're saying. Yeah. But, it's, like I said, but then there's this thing for years, and even you mentioned it when you were on, Michael, that there was a possible civil war going to go on beyond in Israel between Israel and Israeli. Now, if that's still a chance or is going on and they won't report it.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, this incursion into Gaza has failed to unite the country behind Netanyahu. In fact, there are calls for his resignation. There are a lot of people inside Israel saying enough is enough. This has gone on too long. It's time to stop and find another solution.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping enough of that gets there to put the pressure on the Israeli government and then Netanyahu and say, you know, stop it or get out or resign or whatever. If they get enough power to have him removed, that would be the big story.
Well, I would assume as much corruption as Benjamin Netanyahu had, Michael, and how he got into power again is beyond me, other than the same scenario of how Biden got in through cheating and crookedness. But you're absolutely correct. This may be one of those situations that he bit off way too much, and maybe he'll be ousted and pushed out of government. It's possible, I guess.
Well, the thing is that I think the most important thing that we're seeing right now is that Israel has lost control of the narrative. Over the last 75 years, every time they've gone into Palestine and started killing people, it's, we're victims, they're terrorists, you know, we have a right to defend ourselves, so forth and so on. And this time around, people just are not buying it.
Yeah, agree. Question, go ahead, John. You have the question? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, just for, you used to mention about all these problems with all these new weapons. The Gerald R. Ford, which you talked about, they supposedly finally got it to work, and it's there in the out there off the coast. You think that's going to make it through, or something might happen? Even if that causes a problem.
Well, we don't know the current state of the Gerald R. Ford.
That's my side, sorry.
Oh, okay. The reason the Gerald Ford is being deployed is because a lot of our carrier groups are out of service right now, being overhauled, maintained, reactors refueled. We don't have that many active carrier groups out there. And so they put the Gerald Ford in there. But, you know, again, it had a whole bunch of problems, and they just keep spending more and more money until they fix the problems, or they decide to scrap the design and start over, which they recently did with the Freedom Class and Independence Class littoral combat ships. They just couldn't make them work, and they're being scrapped. They've never seen combat. And in fact, most of the time they've been wharf queens, tied up to the wharf, trying to run tests and drills, still tied to the pier.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it makes me think, you know, just say something happened, and it's enough that whether something does damage or blows up, and they want to incur that, Hamas, somebody caused the thing with that.
That's a very real possibility.
You know,
We could have a Gulf of Tonkin incident or a repeat of USS Liberty, and maybe the Ford is going to be the sacrificial lamb because it has so many problems.
Yeah, true.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Michael. Good luck to you and Claire. Keep it up, and
thank
you. See you again sometime.
Thank you.
All right, John, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You know, I'm working, going to pull out the key word here, delaying the invasion into Gaza. And, Mike, how do you think the Israelis, the military, can discern between who's Hamas and who's a rebel, Hamas rebel versus a citizen, if they're going to do this invasion? I mean, we're looking at major death tolls with civilians, and this is not going to go over well. So, I mean, what's the strategy here? What could they possibly be thinking? They're going to go in there and just anybody who's still in Gaza must be Hamas and then take them out?
Yeah, that's actually the attitude that's been expressed by representatives of the Israeli government, you know, that they're all collectively Hamas and therefore they should be collectively punished. And I'd like to add that collective punishment of a civilian population is a war crime.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, there's a little bit of humanitarian aid coming in through UN. At least I understand the trucks are making it through. But again, these people have to get out also in time for the invasion if this is going to happen. Some more calls. Let's get back to them here. We haven't heard from this person in a while from Canada. Layla, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hi. It's good to hear your voice, Mike, and you too, Steve. Haven't spoken with you both for a while. I'd like to point out something that I think has been failed in terms of everyone who is observing this, is the Arab countries that are sitting on the side. The obscenely rich whale sheiks and kings who are sitting back and just muttering like little pussycats, I believe that there's collusion between them and Israel. We know that there's the so-called Abraham Accords that were going on that supposedly might be the impetus for the Hamas action, but we know the Hamas action is a false flag. There's no way that is not a false flag. It's not the entire group that went over the that wire fence. Then certainly some of them were planted there by Israel. They've always had the capacity to do that. Daesh, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, ISIL, whatever. All of those were started by Israel. But the thing is that I don't understand why even Al Jazeera is calling it a war. I mean, in terms of intelligence, you know it's not a war. It's a massacre. So my
Israel formally declared war on Hamas. That's where they're getting that from.
But they don't have to repeat it. Israel says a lot of things. The Arab, Al Jazeera is Qatar. It's the rich, one of the richest Arab countries. They don't have to call it a war. They can call it what it is, which is a lopsided massacre. But even so, the goal, remember the Armenian genocide of 1914, 1915? And here we have Yalon, or whatever his name was, interviewed on Al Jazeera saying, well, you know, we can open Rafah and they can go into the Sinai Desert. Yeah, that's what the Armenian refugees did. They went into the Syrian desert, 1.2 or 1.5 million died of exposure, thirst, and hunger. And the Arab countries will be happy to be rid of them, because the Palestinians have always been a thorn in their side. Uh-huh. Their own people are always ready to erupt because their leadership has failed to do something for the Palestinians. They've been too busy spending money on buying women from around the world, putting gold on the exterior of their buildings, and showing off in the most outrageous fashion. The last thing they want is to have to deal with the Palestinians. So if the Israelis, if Netanyahu does it before he's finally thrown out, they will be relieved. That's an example also for all of the lower class peoples in all of the Arab countries where they are angry with their leadership. What's your response to that? Do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, I think, right, yes, there's a lot of oppression going on in the Middle East countries. There's a lot of oppression going on right here in the United States these days, especially if you're a white male conservative. That's what I was saying earlier in the show. Looking at all the protests in the streets of those Arab nations, the capitals, their leadership has to realize that this could really explode into a massive uprising to pull down those currently in power. And maybe that's part of this whole New World Order plan, is to just wreck all the sovereign nation states and say, we're here to save you. You know, let's microchip your hand, and here's a bug sandwich to eat.
Yeah, this kind of hurts the whole one world government, what's happening right now, the whole movement for one world government, which would be a smooth transition and everybody would be happy in harmony. I don't see that to be a possibility right now.
No, it isn't. And I think, Marxist thought is that to build a new society, the old society has to be torn down first. And that may be a big part of this push to get the United States into war with both Russia and China at the same time, which we will lose. Okay. And
well,
it's a mess.
If I can make a comment about Arab collusion, in 1973, King Hussein flew from Amman to Tel Aviv to warn Golda Meir, the Arab League is planning a secret attack on you on Yom Kippur. It was no surprise. The angel, he was called the angel by the Mossad. He was a spy. He was the son-in-law of Gamal Abdel Nasser. And when he outlived his usefulness, they killed him in London. So there have always been collusion. Now, someone called in the previous show, someone asked if Palestine had ever been a sovereign state. No, it has always been a vassal of all the empires in the region, starting with the Romans, who created Syria Palestina. They were punishing the Judean rebels who said they would fight until they die, like today's Palestinians. They will fight until they die. Give me liberty or give me death, they say.
Yeah, yeah.
So they, to punish those Judean rebels, they changed the name of Judah to Palestina, which was the Peneshet, the enemies of the Judeans. Thereafter, it became either a province under Roman law, and then it was either a satrapy under the Persian Empire or a vilayet under the Ottoman Empire. It never had sovereign status. The only time it existed with boundaries was under the British mandate. Forgive my voice. I've had a sore throat for a while. So I don't know if that message, if that got through, or I've been having trouble with my phone and iPad.
No, we heard it.
Yeah, we got it.
Michael, go ahead and respond.
Well, you know, Layla's command of history is legendary. I mean, she was always a wonderful addition to my own show. But yeah, we're learning right here in the United States of America that there is a lot of collusion, a lot of back channel dialogue, a lot of outright corruption. What the Biden scandal is showing us is that, corruption is not rare at the top levels of government. In fact, it's sort of business as usual. And that's, I guess, is true throughout history.
Yep, and I have to say Machiavelli probably learned all about evil corruption by studying the empires, which are not Arab. They were not. They were heterogeneous. All of those in the Western Asian Peninsula, which is now called the Arabian Peninsula, the Arabs also conquered and forced their identity on all of the peoples, the different tribes that existed in that area. They forced their identity on them for 1,500 years. The Arab Islamic armies controlled that area, including North Africa. So I think I've said enough. Oh, one more comment, if I may. I heard Chance apologize. I want to say thank you. I accept your apology. That was very gracious of you, Chance. And take care of yourself, Mike, and you too, Steve. Keep well.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot, Layla.
I agree. Layla has a world of knowledge there. It's nice to have that knowledge base come to the show. We got a few more calls here lining up. We got to get some calls. But I want to point out something else that came to my attention today that was actually spoken on Real America's Voice and I think also Newsmax. The problem with the refugees, I know Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis down here in Florida, our governors, having some bickering issues back and forth. Nikki Haley wants to bring in the refugees from Gaza into the United States. The humanitarian effort, I kind of say, well, you know, we do what we can to help people. We bring supplies in, and I guess in this situation, I'm not sure how to handle this one. But a question was that – actually, a comment actually came out was that neighboring countries, Michael, are not really interested in taking in refugees from Palestine because they claim that it will destabilize their country and bring them more problems. So nobody seems to want the Palestinian people.
Well, I think it's a little more complex than that. Many of those neighboring Arab countries already have huge Palestinian refugee camps. And like our problem with the open borders here in the United States, it's costing a lot of money and a lot of material. And they want to take care of their people first.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent answer. Let's go back to the files. Let's talk to Laura in Michigan. Welcome, Laura.
Hello, Mike and Steve. Mike, you sound really good.
Thank you.
He does. Well. He's ready to come back, right, Michael?
We'll talk.
Okay. I want to give you insight to the Jewish mind. I was listening to Glenn Beck last week, and Glenn Beck asked Rabbi Daniel Lappin, he's written some books, he says, can you define evil? And Rabbi Lappin said, yes. Evil is when a Jew gets hurt.
Interesting.
Yep.
It tells you they don't care about anybody else.
Yeah.
They don't care about anyone.
Yep.
Also,
Michael, have you ever thought about how Israel controls our foreign policy and how they can pretty much snap their fingers and get what they want from the United States? Have you ever put any attention thought into that?
I mean, the AIPAC is an unregistered agent of Israel. They have huge amounts of money, and they simply go out and buy any member of Congress who's willing to be bought, which sadly is the majority of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with dual citizenship, it's a pretty easy sale, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Laura, any other questions? We're moving on here. Any other questions?
I just have one thing. Talk about hypocrisy. Yeah. They're talking about Gaza. They said the schools are teaching the kids to hate Jews. I thought, well, what our government schools teach the kids CRT? What's the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Very true. Very true. Excellent comment
Laura.
Appreciate it. All right. Back to the phones here. We're going to talk to John in Austin. Welcome, John.
Hi, guys. Hey, just two quick points here I want to mention. I saw a couple of video clips over the past couple of days. The first one was a guy somewhere in England. He had a Palestinian flag hanging from his house, and he got a visit from the police. And the policeman wasn't very aggressive, but it concerned me somewhat that that's the thin end of the wedge. And the one question the policeman wanted to know was, are you not concerned that maybe what you're doing might offend someone? And the guy handled himself very well, actually. Now, the other one I saw this morning, the British Foreign Secretary, who goes by the ironic name of James Cleverly, he was on Good Morning Britain television, and he gave his opinion of the water shortage in Gaza was caused by Hamas digging up the pipelines so that they could build rockets from them. Now, that's a senior British government official, and that's his mindset. I'll leave you to ponder that.
Doesn't sound too likely. Again, the truth is the first casualty in war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think they're digging up pipes and recycling cans to make bombs and missiles. I don't think so. Good try. Michael, are you sure?
When I was a kid, I briefly got into the hobby of model rocketry, you know, building little actual flying rockets. And, water pipes don't really work for that.
No, that don't work very, not very well. All right, let's go back to the calls again. We got a couple more in the loop here. We still got Michael. Lynn in Maryland, you're on the show.
Thank you, Stephen. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Actually, water also doesn't flow without electricity.
That's right.
And, of course, they have to send a few caravans in with supplies because it would look really bad to the rest of the world while you genocided those people. I've been trying to tell y'all. Now, I'd like to know how many people have called how many of their legislators or the State Department or the Pentagon or wherever the hell they can call today and last week and the week before. You know, the show on 60 Minutes on Sunday, the 15th? It was the week before yesterday. Mm-hmm. Actually had the story about what happened on October 7th, and it wasn't BS. Now, I have been saying this. I've called Congress. I'm tired of the narrative, the propaganda that everybody is believing, that there were a lot of people killed on October 7th. Now, there were guards removed from that gate, and that electronic equipment was disabled. And it took 6 to 8 hours for people to get there to help anybody with calls to help to their family members, to where a grandparents had Israeli grandparents went through an Israeli checkpoint. Well, they got stopped, and the only way they got through was because the grandmother said, I'm telling you right now, if you're going to stop us, you're going to have to shoot me. And they went, and there were other old men that were there, and that's who fought those people. No Israeli showed up, no Israeli military. Now, I don't know who Hamas, whatever those terrorists were, but they killed a hell of a lot of people, and it pushed every Holocaust buttons. And when it comes to who's brainwashing who, it would be the Israelis and their children. This is a setup, and do you know how much planes and ships, besides the daily shipment of munitions? And did you know that we have
Lynn, we got the music coming up for the second hour. Lynn, hold that thought. We'll bring you right back. Second hour coming up. Stay tuned.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.